Good morning. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to be picking up where we left off yesterday. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I had a few loose ends there we didn't get tied up yesterday. Pray without ceasing. Now, if you're just joining us in this study or you've missed out on some of this, here in the concluding verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's some very short, very pointed commands that are given. You might almost say they were very terse, curt. They're abrupt. They don't flow one into another, as you might expect other verses to be organically tied together, but rather these are separate and individual commands that are given by the Lord to people who are expected to do what he says. Now, as we were talking yesterday about verse 17, pray without ceasing, the question automatically comes to mind when a lot of people is, well, how is it possible to pray without ceasing? As we were closing out the broadcast yesterday, I was on this idea of maintaining an attitude that is consistent with what you think of when you pray, or what you think of as an attitude of prayer. You see, if prayer is your heart talking to God, now please keep in mind there are certain assumptions that are made when you talk about praying. I'm reminded of Psalm 66, verse 18, where David says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, there are times when Christians go through the motions of praying, when people go through the motions of praying, and they're wasting their breath and their effort because God's not going to hear them. "Well, I don't hardly believe that, and God hears every prayer." Yeah, I know. You grew up on those songs like, "I believe for every drop of rain a flower grows, and then somewhere in the darkest night a candle glows." You must be dumber than dirt, friend. You ever consider how many drops of rain fall in the course of a rainstorm, and you're going to tell me you believe that there are that many flowers that sprout for each one of those? It's figurative language. Well, of course it is. But what I'm talking about is not figurative. When he says to pray without ceasing, it is a command. It is a command given to those whose hearts are in a position, spiritually, in a position of being capable of praying. If there is sin in your heart, unconfessed sin, that is, there's something in your heart that you know is not right, and you're not willing to give it up. You're going to hang on to it because it's just too much fun. I just like this. I don't see anything wrong with it. But you know that from a biblical point of view, there is something wrong with it. It is sin. And instead of purging it from you, you hold on to it. You embrace it. You tuck it away in your hip pocket. You get it out and play with it later. You'll meditate on it. You'll think about it. You'll daydream about this thing. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, Christian, if you're going to make any pretense of praying without ceasing, it presupposes you've got a heart that is clean, that is clear with God. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The very essence of prayer is based on an expectation that God will hear. If I have just given you something that tells you, and I didn't conjure it up, I didn't manufacture it, if I show you the scripture that says here is something that will keep God from hearing your prayer, then obviously you ought to want to remove any obstacle to prayer that you can find. If the essence of prayer is getting God to hear you and to act on what you're requesting, then obviously let's get rid of the barriers. Now, when he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me," the obvious thing, the obvious course of action is not to holler louder, but to get your heart right with God. You've got some sin in your life, confess it before the Lord, turn from it, and get on with business. Now here, he says, pray without ceasing. All right. Your heart right with the Lord? Is everything right there? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can't expect God to do much about answering your prayer if there are areas of your life, I don't mean necessarily you see them as sin, but they are out of whack with the Word of God. So what do you mean? Well, let's suppose for a minute that you're a husband. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Oh, yeah, well, that's it. You can't pray effectively if you're not getting along with your wife. Ladies, how many times I've heard people say, oh, won't you pray for my husband? He needs the Lord. He's lost, and I just... You got to ask yourself, ladies, are you right with the Word of God? Well, what do you mean? Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Wives, be in submission to your own husbands as it is right in the Lord. There are so many verses there that talk about submission and a wife's responsibility to be in submission to her husband that even though it's not politically correct today and even though it goes against the grain for what you might want, it is what the Bible says. It's what God commands. Now, you cannot be right with your husband and still expect God to hear and answer prayer. If you know there's something, it's the same way with kids. Children, obey your parents. That's what he said. What about it? You're going to waste your time and God's time praying when he's not going to hear you? He's already told you he's not going to hear you because you refuse to be right with your parents because you are rebelling against their authority? On the outside chance, there may be some young people listening to me this morning. And I realize the odds of that are rather slim because school is in session and most of the kids at home that might be listening to this in the background probably not paying that close attention to it. But on the outside chance, maybe someone is home from school from sick. When it says to obey your parents, it means that. To honor your parents, your father and your mother, it means to do that. If you're not willing to do that, you are in disobedience to the Word of God as much as a husband who does not treat his wife right. You are as guilty before the Lord as a wife who does not subject herself to her husband's headship. You are as much a sinner against the Word of God as one who lies or steals or... You see what I mean? He says, pray without ceasing. You know, there are some practical applications, some practical things that come out of this. It's very difficult to swear and cuss and pray at the same time. It's difficult to look at pornography and carry on a conversation with God. It's difficult to listen to sordid, nasty rock music and carry on a conversation with God. There are an awful lot of things out there that you can't do and pray at the same time. I mean, oh, don't get me wrong, I know you can say the words, and all too often you have, but you're not praying. You're saying words, but the heart is not connected in there. Your heart's not talking to God, because your heart would hide from God just as Adam hid from God in the cool of the day when God's presence came walking there in the garden. He hid himself, and so it is with you. You go through the motions of prayer, but you're hiding your heart from God. Your heart's got nothing to say to God because you're hanging on to sin. You've got an attitude that's contrary to the Scripture, and you know that. So you can't do what the Bible says. And the command is pray without ceasing. So what are you going to do? Say, well, I do. I couldn't do it. The only way you can't do it is because you allow sin to have the upper hand. Now, is that the way you want it? Is that how you want your life to go down? In the grip of sin? Even though you claim to be a Christian, even though you claim to have trusted Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you know that the Bible says you've been set free from the power of sin, why would you entangle yourself in it again? Pray without ceasing. You see, the practical application of this, Christian, is this. If your heart's right with the Lord, you spend time in prayer, it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. There's an awful lot of deviltry you can't get into if you're constantly in communion with God. See, to make him hear you, now I don't mean to imply there's a limitation on God, but it's kind of like if you were wanting to make sure somebody hears you, don't you see to it that you're close enough that they can hear? So many times I see in the scripture verses that will say things like, your sin hath separated between you and your God. Did you ever try to carry on a conversation when there's somebody sitting between you and the person you want to talk to? Or three or four people? Or maybe three or four people on the other side of the car? And the guy you want to talk to is on the other side of all that? Sure, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? What's the practical thing to do? If you want to make sure that person hears, you get close to them, don't you? Sure. You talk around. You get around. You get away from the people and the obstacles, and you get close to the person you want to talk to. Pray without ceasing. That's a command. Christian, will you do it? Will you do it? I challenge you. You do this. Try it for a day and see how you feel at the end of the day spiritually. Try it. Pray without ceasing. You have trouble losing your temper? Pray without ceasing. You'll find your temper comes under control. You have trouble with bad vocabulary? I don't mean you can't think of good, impressive words, but I mean you have trouble with slang, cussing. You have problem with profanity. You have problem with lying. Is it easier for you to lie than it is to tell the truth? Pray. Pray without ceasing. Stay in that attitude of prayer continually with God. You see, there are times when you've read things, you've heard things, you know, when people walk with the Lord. Have you ever scratched your head and say, well, what in the world are they talking about? In layman's terms, this is exactly what we're talking about. The old song, In the Garden, usually singing around Easter time, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. The chorus goes, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other's ever known. Did you ever have such a good time with the Lord in prayer? You felt his presence, and it was just you and him. Just you and him. And you want to tell other people about it, but they looked at you like you kind of lost your mind. But it was something special between you and him. My friend, that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that way every day of your life. Every day we live, we ought to be drawing closer to him. Pray without ceasing. Now, I know I don't really have enough time to do justice to the next verse, but it's too soon to quit, so we'll keep going. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice, please, it's another one of these commands. Do it. Rejoice evermore. Not easy. Pray without ceasing. Takes continual focus. In everything give thanks. Are you crazy? Coming up here next month, April the 15th, tax day. You're going to give God thanks for the ability to pay your taxes? Say what? I didn't say it would be easy. But he says, in everything, give thanks. Well, that's about it for today. I'm going to have to obviously come back to this on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me then as we continue our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Join me next time.